All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verses 35 to 40. John 18, looking at verses 35 to 40. And Father, thank you again for your loving kindness and tender mercies towards us. Lord, thank you for the great things you're doing in our midst. And Lord, we just pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that your hand will be upon us. And Lord, you will give us the understanding of your word to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. John 18, looking at verses 35 to 40, the title of this message is, What is Truth? Part 2. What is truth? Now, in part 1 of this study, we saw the events surrounding around the trial of Jesus before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. The religious leaders brought Jesus to Pilate, and he said to them in verse 29, What accusation do you bring against this man? And they responded in verse 30, If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. And Pilate tried to get out of the deal he made with them earlier and said in verse 31, You take him and judge him according to your law. They told Pilate, in essence, you're not getting off that easy. It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. And Pilate goes back into the praetorium in verse 33 and asks Jesus, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus responds in verse 35, Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? And now we pick it up in verse 35. Notice what it says there. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? I love that. Pilate's sharp response, Am I a Jew? Shows his disdain for the Jewish people and for his growing frustration with their religious Jewish cases that they kept bringing his way. Oh, he continues to show his frustration by the statement, Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. And then Pilate ends this verse with a question that he should have asked in the beginning. What have you done? In other words, he was saying, you must have done something wrong because your own nation delivered you to me. Now, Pilate is making an assumption that all of us as parents make with our children from time to time. You see that the school has called the house or maybe even sent the letter, and immediately you assume that something is wrong. And before you listen to the message or open up the letter, you're in the face of your child asking them like Pilate asked Jesus, What have you done? When they respond, I ain't doing anything. I ain't do nothing. And then he said, if you say if you haven't done anything wrong, then why is the school calling my phone or the house or sending letters? And we immediately jump to conclusions and make assumptions like Pilate did. Oh, maybe they did mess up in school, but get all the facts first before you jump to conclusions. How did Jesus answer Pilate's question? Look at verse 36. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants will fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Notice how Jesus does answer Pilate's question in verse 33 about whether he was the king of the Jews. He says, in essence, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. I want to draw your attention to the Greek preposition for the word of. The Greek preposition is ek, and it means out from the midst of. So this is what Jesus is saying. My kingdom is not of, out from the midst of this world. In other words, Jesus is saying, my kingdom is not of this world system. He is saying his authority to be king was not given to him by man. Oh, you remember how the people wanted to come to take Jesus by force and make him king in John 6 verse 15. And he withdrew from them. And by him withdrawing from them, Jesus was saying that his kingdom was not of this world. And so in essence, Jesus was saying, Pilate, you don't have to worry that I will gather a little army and fight against Rome. I'm not that kind of king. I'm not a political king. If I were this kind of king or this type of king, this verse goes on to say, my servants will fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. God's kingdom is not of this world. And yes, there will come a time where Jesus will return and establish his kingdom upon the earth for 1,000 years in what is called the millennial kingdom. But for now, Jesus wants to come and establish his kingdom in the individual hearts of people. The question is, has Jesus established his kingdom in your heart where he is the king of your life, where he is the Lord of your life, the Lord of your actions, the Lord of your daily life, and not just the Lord of your life or on some occasional Sunday you decide to come to church? No, this is what Jesus is seeking to do today, establish his kingdom in the hearts of individual people. And this is why when Jesus sent his disciples out to tell the Jews about him, he said in Luke 10, verse 9, tell them that the kingdom of God has come near them. The kingdom is near people still today. And the only way that the kingdom of God can come in you is if you invite the King, Jesus, into your life. And I'm here today to say that the kingdom of God is near you today. Will you invite the King into your life? And when you do, guess what? He brings his kingdom with him. And this means that you will start to govern your life according to the laws and rules of the kingdom. I believe that we as Americans, we miss what the Lord is trying to say to us in these verses because we don't live under a monarchy like England. So when we talk about king and kingdom, that goes right over our head because we have a president. But to live under a monarchy, a king, if I was to teach this over in England, they'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, I got what you're saying. But for us in America, we so often miss it. And this is why we have to teach verse by verse and go through the gospels and teach about the kingdom of God so you can understand the principles of the kingdom. When you live under a monarchy, you have to obey the laws and rules of that monarchy under that kingdom. So when you accept Jesus as king in your life, he comes and brings his kingdom into your heart. That means now we have to govern ourselves by the rules and laws of the kingdom, which is in the word of God. That means we govern our lives by the word. It's not just lip service that we give. Oh, Jesus is king of my life, and it's just lip service. No, it means you live daily under the laws of the kingdom. And the kingdom laws are in the word of God, in the scriptures here. So this is why Jesus told Pilate that his kingdom was not the kingdom of, or a political kind of kingdom that was seeking to overthrow Rome. Jesus said, I'm not that kind of king. His kingdom was not of this world. Now, how did Pilate respond to what Jesus said? Look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So is Pilate asking Jesus whether he was a king? Like the first part of this verse is suggesting. I don't think so. I believe that he heard what Jesus said in verse 36. And he says it as a statement. So are you a king then? Or in other words, I see you as a political king, but you said your kingdom is not of this world. So what kind of king are you? You're a king. So what kind of king are you? Jesus answered, you rightly say that I am a king. And Jesus boldly confesses who he was to Pilate, just like 1 Timothy 6:13 says that Christ Jesus witnessed a good confession before Pilate, Pontius Pilate. And in these verses, this is where this is fulfilled, in this verse right here. I believe that all of us who are believers today will stand before our own Pontius Pilate. And the question is, will we make a good confession before him like Jesus did, or will we cower under the pressure? Oh, please realize that Luke 12 in verses 11 and 12 says, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, it says, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And God will give us what to say in those moments, but the question still stands, will we say what God wants us to say? Or will we allow fear to keep us silent? Oh, Satan has crafted things in such a way today to give everyone else rights except the Christian. We want to silence you because you have that book that talk about people and talk about things. So we gonna let everybody else talk and you shut your mouth. And the question is, when we stand before our own Pilate, Pontius Pilate, will we allow fear to keep us silent? Or will we give a good confession like Jesus is doing here? Look at the next statement Jesus makes. He says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. Jesus was saying, I know why I came into the world. I know why I was born. I was born a king, and a king has a kingdom. The kingdom at this time is sinful and in rebellion against God. But I came to die for their sin and bring them back to God. This is why I came. This is why I was born, Jesus would say. Oh, I have to ask us, do you know why you were born? Do you know why God allowed for you to be brought into this world? I know why I was born. I know why I was brought on the earth. And it is to do what I'm doing now, which is pastor Calvary Chapel, Newport News, Virginia, where I teach you God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, from Genesis to Revelation. I know why I'm here and why I was born. Do you know why? Do you know why you were born? Only through a relationship with Jesus Christ will unlock this great mystery in your life. Oh, I say this because before I committed my life to Jesus Christ, I had my life all mapped out. I thought my life was going to take two routes. Number one, I was going to go off to college. I had an academic scholarship to Indiana State, and I was going to go off to college, and I was going to study electronic technology and then eventually branch off into robotics. I thought that was my life. Then there was the other life. I thought I was going to be some major league star, baseball star. I had a baseball scholarship to Southern Louisiana, and I thought I was going to be a baseball star. And once all that is done, you know, hey, I just, you know, go get into robotics, go off and have my life with my little bitty wife, and I was just going to go do my thing. But something happened. When I committed my life to Jesus Christ, all of that changed. All of that changed. Now I know why I was born, why I was brought on the earth. It was not to play around with robots, nor to hit a ball over a fence. That was not what it was. God said, you think, God laughed. I believe when he saw my plans, he laughed because he said, he doesn't know what I have planned for him. And then the Lord unlocked that great mystery. And when I committed my life to Jesus Christ, he said, look, I got another plan for you. I know why I am born. I know why God allowed for me to be alive, why I am here. And so if you don't know why, it's going to be once you commit your life to Jesus Christ. and give your heart to him. And he'll reveal the purpose of why you were born. And when you do that, get along with God and your Bible and say, God, why am I here? There must be more to life than just going to work, coming home, eating, watching TV, go to sleep, wake up and do that all over again. Run around just doing stuff. Run the kids around the events and things. There must be, God, there must be more to life than this. Is this why I was born? To be a taxi for my kids and run them around all over the place? Is this why, God, is this why you allow for me to be born for this? There are taxi drivers that can do that. Why do you allow for me to be here? And I would say, get along with your Bible. And get along with God. And say, God, why am I here? Why did you allow for me to be born? There must be more to life than what I'm doing. There must be more to life than just the rat race. There must be. And I believe that he will show you. But there is something that all of us are called to do who are believers. And I believe the last part of this verse tells us, notice the last part of verse 37, that I should bear witness to the truth. Jesus is telling Pilate that this is why he came to this earth, to bear witness of the truth. In other words, Jesus is saying, Pilate, my mission is a spiritual one and not a political one. Jesus is saying, I came to tell the truth about God, about sin, about judgment, love, forgiveness, and eternal life. All of these are some ingredients that make up the truth. And we are called to do the same thing, to tell the truth about sin, about judgment, about love, forgiveness, and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul did in Acts 24 and verse 25 when he stood before the Roman governor at that time, which was Felix. It says that he reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And Felix was afraid and said, go away from now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. And we're called to do the same thing, to tell the truth about God, about holiness, righteousness, and judgment to come. And you will have people like Felix that will say, go away from now. And when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. And then you will have those who will hear what you have to say. How do I know this for sure? Because the last part of verse 37 says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Our job is not to get discouraged when we encounter the Felix in our lives who reject the truth, but to look for those who are of the truth that will hear God's voice. Well, how do you know those who are of the truth? They will hear God's voice. They will hear what you have to say. The Felix in your life will say, get away from me with that. When I'm ready to talk about those kind of things, I'll call for you. You don't come for me. I'll come for you. You know, and so that's the kind of stuff that you would get from the Felix of this world. But those who are of the truth, the ones that God has touched their hearts, when you talk about eternal things, they will be the ones who will hear God's voice and they will receive it. Look what it says there in verse 38. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Now, the words of Jesus in verse 37 were meant for Pilate to inquire more about the truth Jesus had to offer. But he abruptly ends the conversation with a cynical kind of question. What is truth? In other words, he was dismissing the case because he had heard enough that Jesus wasn't a threat to Rome. And he walks out of the praetorium and goes back to the religious leaders identified by the term the Jews and says, I find no fault in him at all. Pilate was telling them that after his interrogation that Jesus was innocent of the charges they brought against him. He was no threat to Rome. I want to bring something to your attention. When Pilate asked, what is truth? notice how he didn't stick around to get an answer to the question. And I wonder if we aren't the same way in our prayers to God. We go to God asking what to do about our marital status, about our financial problems, or about our single status, and then we leave before we get an answer like Pilate did. We so often forget that there are two sides of prayer. There's number one, the talking side of prayer, and number two, the listening side of prayer. And the best way to listen is with an open heart and an open Bible. He will speak to us and give us the truth we are looking for in life. So often we just do the one thing. We think that God is some heavenly Santa Claus, that we bring our list and we blab our list off to God and we take off. And we never hear what God has to say back. We just think that prayer is just this thing that we blab to God. I've said this many times. What if you went home at the end of the day and your spouse, you just went in there and told your spouse about your day. You just blabbed off, blab, blab, blabber, blabber, blabber about your day. Your spouse never said anything to you in return. After you blabbed, you went upstairs and took off your clothes and, you know, put something, the lounge in, and you began to watch TV. Go to sleep, wake up, go to work, come back home, and you blabber, blabber, blabber about your whole day. And then you walk out, going upstairs, do the same thing, week after week. What kind of relationship would you have with your spouse? Not a good one. You don't know what's going on with your spouse. You don't know what your spouse has to say, questions you asked and requests you made. You don't even know because you walked out before you can give them a chance to even talk. We do God the same way in prayer. We go to God and we blab, 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 blab about our day. And then we leave like Pilate did before we even get an answer. The way that God speaks is through the word of God. We speak to God. In prayer, he speaks to us through the word. That's why I said we listen with an open heart and an open Bible. We know the truth is in the word of God. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth, John 17:17 says. And we lean upon the Spirit of God, who is called the Spirit of truth in John 16:13. And so the truth is in the word of God. The truth about your marital status, about your single status, your financial status, the truth about what to do about this, that, or the other, the truth is in the word of God. There's the talking side of prayer, but don't forget about the listening side of prayer. God wants to talk to you and wants to speak truth into your life. If you just search it, then you go around, God, I just want you to speak some truth. I need the truth. I want the truth. I think he lied. I think she lied. I just need the truth. I need the truth. And then you leave before God even gives you an answer. Or you don't seek the source of truth, which is the word of God. And you wonder why you're not being guided and directed in your life, because you ask God, what is truth? And then you walk out before you even get an answer. Oh, we do this so many times. Look at verses 39 and 40. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And they all cried out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Now, had Pilate left at the statement, I find no fault in him at all, he would have gone down in history as a man of principle. But instead, he tried to appease the crowd. He tried to take the middle ground, which is always a dangerous ground. He tried to take the middle ground and satisfy the religious leaders' desire to kill Jesus and free himself of the responsibility of condemning an innocent man. And so he tries to appeal to the Jewish custom of releasing a prisoner at the time of Passover, according to verse 39. And he asked them, do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Then they cried out in verse 40, not this man, but Barabbas. Then John identified him by saying that Barabbas was a robber. It doesn't look like Pilate's plan worked, because instead of getting Jesus released, they asked for Barabbas. And we will pick up the story in chapter 19 next time. There's some things in the conclusion here that I want us to be aware of and I want us to take with us. The title is What is Truth? And we're called as God's people to proclaim this truth to this world. The truth about God, about holiness, forgiveness, and about judgment to come. I say the truth about these things because a lot of people have been told a lie about God. For example, you hear a lot of this today. My God will never send me to hell. Or my God loves me and it doesn't matter how I live. These are lies told about the truth. And we are called to tell the truth about forgiveness through Jesus Christ, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, he loves us, but he will still discipline us when we're disobedient. And yes, there is a judgment to come that we will stand before a holy God and give an account of our lives here upon the earth. It's for us to tell the truth about these things. The question is, are you ready to face this holy God? God is not some big teddy bear in the sky that I cuddle up to. No, he is a holy God that judges sin. And he means business. Oh yes, he is a God of love. He's a God of forgiveness. He's long suffering, kind and patient. He's all of those things. But God is also holy. And his holiness demands punishment for sin. And this world is pretty sinful. Yeah. I would say a whole lot sinful. And he will judge it. And you remember I told you many times, God judges individuals in the next life. God judges nations in this life. And he judges nations through natural disasters. That's how God judges nations. And I've always taught you, pay attention to the weather and see the crazy weather patterns. How Colorado had a storm in April, snowstorm. How there were floods in Texas where you can just see the tops of the cars. Or you can see just the top of the street lights and crazy stuff. Pay attention. God judges nations in this life. But there is a judgment to come for individuals. And you stand before a holy God. The question is, are you ready to stand before that holy God? If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're ready. You're ready. If not, you can today. You can today. You only have this life to get ready for the next. And all you have is right now. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not promised. All you have is right now. And you can get things right with a God that loves us, but a God that's also holy and will judge sin. And this is where you hear the truth about these things. It's here, and then we're to take that truth out there because there's a lot of lies told about God. And we need to make sure that we speak the truth in love when we're out there. But we still need to speak the truth. Yes, do it in love, but we need to speak the truth because there's a lot of lies told about the God that we know. And it's up to us to set those lies straight in love, but to set it straight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you would anoint us and empower us to speak your truth. And Lord, I pray that you will open up a door for the word for us. And dear God, I just pray for those who are here who have not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that they will repent of their sin today and believe that you died on the cross and was buried for them. Your word says if they confess these things, they will be saved. Draw people unto you into a relationship with you, Lord, where we accept you as king of our lives and we will live according to your kingdom principles, and according to the principles of your word. Help us, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen.